Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
It is my pleasure and honor to introduce our guest to us this morning. I have the utmost admiration and respect for Wayne. He has spent his career and life taking truths and experiences in life and crafting them into a beautiful way and song in ways that are very memorable and very thought-provoking and very encouraging. So it's a great honor to have him here with us this morning. Selfishly, I'm grateful for him on many different levels as well. If it was not for him, I would not be here. He took a risk on a 20-something-year-old kid in Florida many, many years ago. In fact, 17 years ago we met, and he asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, I'm going to the beach. What are you doing? And he invited me to come out to Houston and work alongside with him, and it was a fantastic beginning of a wonderful relationship over these last years. So I'm so appreciative of Wayne and who he is. But would you join me in welcoming Mr. Wayne Watson this morning?
Wow. Yep. Got me to blame. Got any problems, just write to me, Wayne. That's all the address you'll need. I love Jeremy. A lot of life has transpired since those days. A lot of music and a lot of life, good stuff, not so good stuff, and here we are still. My mother died in 2012. My dad died in 97. He told me right before she passed away, he said, your mother's not going to make it a year after I'm gone. And she lived 15 years after he was gone. And as she was dying, in only the way that she could, she said, well, I guess I showed him, didn't I? With all due respect, she said, these Southern women, they're tough. My pastor has a mug that says, if you love Texas women, raise your glass. If you don't, raise your standards. So there you go. It's great to be with you. Christmas can be a difficult time. It can be, as a kid, it's like a wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But not for everybody. Some people find it very painful. They find that they're misplaced and they don't know where to go. And I would not only guess, but assure you that if you are misplaced, that you could find a place in the family here in this church. How was that for a segue?
Perfect.
It seems strange to me that people have this need to look everywhere for love and hope to find it. While the obvious gets past most of us, God loved this world so much He came to save us. There is a place for you in this family, where I care for you and you care for me, and we take every step for the world to see. We testify, oh Jesus, with our lives. Has it crossed your mind that God would be so kind to wipe all the clouds away till we see Jesus? And with the faith of a child, just open your heart, receive, and be who He made you to be. Just go and be it. Oh, there is a place for you in this step for the world to see. We testify, oh Jesus, with our life. You can walk beside me anytime. Or you can walk out in front, you can walk behind.
Mom always wanted me to have a song in the hymn book. She says, honey, if you could just get a song in the hymn book. And many years ago I did. I had got two songs put in a hymn book, and then everybody quit using them. But started watching TV in church, singing to TV, like karaoke. But I'm not bitter. Anyway, Mom was a musician. All that I know about it came from her. I tend to talk too much, especially in the mornings. I did a concert one time, and there's a little kid on the front row, and I guess I was going on and on a little too much, and kids don't have inside voices sometimes. And she said real loud, when's he gonna sing again? You know, I was like, never forgot that. Heaven's service at my church the other day, and the pastor that was speaking showed a clip from a movie. He said, well, I'm going to show you a little video clip. So we didn't know what was coming. We thought it might be some nice Christmas thought, and it was a clip from a movie called Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. How many of you have seen that and would admit it? Yeah, more people than the first. They were very, not us, we don't. One guy here on the front kind of went like that. And you probably remember, you probably realized the clip that they were showing, but we were shocked because our pastor, the one that was speaking, was sort of, he's sort of quiet and sort of traditional. And he showed the scene where they're praying over the Christmas lunch. Remember the scene they're praying, and Ricky Bobby, the race car driver, is praying to the, oh, dear, sweet little baby Jesus in a manger. And he goes on, it's just hysterical. And you laugh at it, and you think, I probably shouldn't laugh at this. But dear baby Jesus in the manger with your beautiful golden diapers and surrounded by, you know, and your little angel wings. And then they talk about, and his wife says, honey, he grew up. He's not a baby. I love the little baby Jesus. He's my favorite Jesus. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people love the baby Jesus. A lot of people, especially this time of year, I love the baby Jesus. Not so much the grown-up Jesus. He's a little more intimidating. He makes you have to come to grips with some of the stuff in your life. But it's so easy, isn't it? Isn't it amazing where people look to find peace and contentment and rest and love? I know so many people, and they look everywhere for it. They try every kind of different version of faith. They try different kind of cultures. And I just want to say, it's right there. It's right there. He's right there. He's so simple to know. We have an advocate in Christ, but we also have an enemy who stirs the mind of people up to miss that, I think. This is a word from the prophet James Taylor. Two, three, four. Those magic men, the magi, some people call them wise. They were oriental, even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. Then warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme. They went home another way. Yes, they went home by another way. Home by another way. Maybe me and you can be wise guys too and go home another way. We can make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home another way. Steer clear of royal welcomes. Avoid a big to-do. King who would slaughter the innocents, he ain't gonna cut a deal for you. Oh, he really, really wants those presents. He'll comb your camel's fur till his boys announce they found trace amounts of your frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Time to go home by another way. Home by another way. Better figure that God's saying play the odds and go home another way. We can make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home another way. Home is where they want you now. You can more or less assume that you'll be welcome in the end.
mustn't let King Herod haunt you so, or fantasize his features when you're looking at a friend. Well, it pleasures me to be here to sing this song today. Tell me that life is a miracle, and that's right, just what they say. Oh, but Herod's always out there, he's got our cards on file, and it's a lead pipe cinch. If you give an inch, old Herod's gonna take a mile. Best to go home by another way, home by another way. We got this far by a holy star, but tomorrow is another day. We can make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high, and go home, go home. I'm sure you must have been surprised where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives could he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? Just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. How it could have been. Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason. As he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Now I'm not one can guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. Such a strange way. Such a strange way. Such a strange way to save the world. To save the world. Did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? And Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? And did you has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will again. The lame will leap and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know? Did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child
was an old radio host, some of you remember. I can see faces. you're kind of blurred. But it's been 10 years since I've been here. A lot has changed since 10 years ago. And we could go on and on about that in your life and in mine. And we're just thankful. Who would have ever thought what has happened in the last 2 years would have happened? And how we would be living now. Paul Harvey told a story every Christmas about a man who was not a believer, and he had family, and they were Christians, but he didn't participate, and he was respectful of them, but he didn't go to church with them, and didn't take Christmas seriously. And one night, he was home on Christmas Eve, and there were some little birds out in the snow, and he went out and tried to hustle them into the barn where they would be warm and not freeze. And he thought to himself, if I could just be a bird for a minute and fly with you, I would take you where it's warm and safe. And the story goes that he heard the bells from the church ringing, and it occurred to him, finally, that that's what Jesus did. He became a bird. And he became a man and a human and walked among us and led us to the safety of eternity by the course of his blood. My favorite uncle, unless there are other uncles in here that I don't know about, my favorite uncle was my Uncle Jack. He was not a Christian. He was a big man, 6'8". I think he was 6'7" in the last service. Maybe 6'7", 6'8". Kind of like fishing, you know. Uncle Jack was a sweet man. Didn't have any kids. My brother and I were like his kids. And he's very smart. He didn't buy the whole Jesus story either until he was 62. And he came to Christ at 62. I don't know how or why or what changed his mind. He died soon after, but he reminded me of the guy in this story, and maybe you know somebody like this too. He was a loving father, the gentle master of his home. And all alone against their love for God, no Savior, no Savior. Unmoved and softly cynical of those he thought naive, God come to earth a virgin birth. How could anybody believe? His Christmas evening solitaire beside the fire glow. Out the window, tiny sparrows in the spell of a chilling snow. And moved with deep compassion, with a redeeming plan he rose. And he tried in vain to gather them to a shelter from the killing winter cold. Oh, but simple creatures seldom comprehend the ways of man. And sometimes love expressed is met with doubt and fear. And he thought, if I could only fly among you, I know I could help you understand. Just for one moment, walk there beside you, it would all be clear. It would all be clear. Even before the thought had left his mind, the bells from far away reminded him of simple truth he denied till that day. How Jesus, born the Savior, walked this earth with mortal men. He'd
naked, and another soul is safely home, and Christmas never be the same again. And another soul is safely home, and Christmas never be the same again. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill. Then in despair, I bowed my head. There is no such thing as peace on this earth, I said. For hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace, peace, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, he does not sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right will prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill. With peace on earth, goodwill to
let's sing together. Mama would have said, grab your hymn book, but we don't do that. You don't need that for this.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come. Come.
Father. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Sing glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Holy, old town of Bethlehem, above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met. The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued. Noel, Noel, Noel.
we sing it again? Let's drop it down so people can sing it and I can sing it. Listen to this verse. This is a great verse. I used to hate it when singers said, listen to the words. Okay. Listen to the words you're singing this verse. You know it? Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, who hath made heaven and earth from naught, and with his blood mankind has bought. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Thank
you so much, Wayne, for your music and your ministry. I think one of the greatest gifts of Christmas is music, right? And we've been blessed with a couple really gifted musicians this morning. So thank you guys so much. Appreciate it very much. Well, it is Christmas time. And as Christians, we know that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ. It really is a birthday celebration. And when you think about it, what really are we celebrating when we celebrate a birthday? Imagine your family throws a birthday party. They invite people over to your house, and they're there to celebrate your birthday. What are they celebrating? Are they really celebrating your birth? That moment when you were delivered in the maternity ward in the hospital, is that really what they're celebrating? At a birthday party, do people sit around and say, man, that obstetrician of yours, he was amazing, right? That catch, I mean, with hands like that, he should be a wide receiver. That's amazing, right? Grabbed you by the ankles, flipped you upside down, gave you that welcome to the world kind of slap. I mean, that was pretty, one fell swoop, very, very amazing, right? And your lungs, my goodness, that little cry, you've had pipes from the very beginning. I mean, is that the kind of things we say? And that belly button, that's a sight to behold. Your hospital did cellar work, right? As births go, that was clearly a 9 out of a 10. Is that the kind of stuff we marvel about and celebrate at a birthday? No, no. I would suggest that when you celebrate your birthday, we're not so much celebrating your birth as your life, right? We're saying, hey, I'm so glad that you came into this world and that we get to enjoy all that you are and all that you've done to this very day. And I would say the same thing is true of Christmas. When we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, are we merely celebrating that magical moment in the stable when Mary gave birth to Jesus? Well, yes, we are celebrating that because, let's be honest, there wasn't a much more stellar birth than that one. I mean, after all, virgins don't usually give birth to babies. Human beings don't usually give birth to the Son of God. Births aren't usually announced by angelic choirs. If any birth deserved to be celebrated, that was it. But I would suggest to you that at Christmas, we're celebrating that, yes, but we're celebrating much more than that. We're not simply celebrating the birth of Christ. We're celebrating the life of Christ. We're not simply celebrating the fact that he came. We're celebrating why he came. And why did Jesus come? Well, when the angel appeared to Joseph, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And Jesus basically said the same thing much later as a man. He said, "I came to seek and to save those who are lost." In John chapter 3, he said, "I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved." Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost, to save us from our sins. And what does that mean? What does it mean to say that Jesus came to save us from our sins? Well, I think it means at least three things. Number one, Jesus came to save us from the penalty of sin. The truth is, we're all sinners, if we're honest with ourselves. We've all broken God's laws. We have a hard time living up to our own standards, much less God's. And because we have violated God's law, God, as a just and holy judge, he must punish our sins. He's a just God. He's a righteous judge. But thank God he's also a very merciful and kind and gracious God. And in his mercy, he did something absolutely amazing. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That verse tells us that Jesus didn't come merely to be born. He was born to die for your sins and mine. When Jesus hung on that cross, that was God in human flesh, suffering for you and for me, taking on himself the punishment that we deserve so that we could be forgiven, so that our sins could be wiped clean, so that we could stand before God, not as criminals before a judge, but as children before a loving Heavenly Father. And what Jesus did from the cross, it's a gift. Romans 3:10 says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what Jesus did in offering us forgiveness and eternal life, it's nothing we can earn, it's nothing we can be worthy of by doing good deeds. It's a gift, and we simply humbly receive it by faith, by simply saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I know that, but I thank you that you died for my sins. Will you save me? Will you forgive me? Will you come into my life and be my Savior and Lord? That's what Jesus did for us. He came to pay sin's penalty for us. But it gets even better than that. Jesus was not only born to die so that we could be saved from the penalty of our sins, but secondly, Jesus rose from the dead to save us from the power of our sins. Because there's still unfinished business in our lives. We still, even though we're forgiven as Christians, we still struggle with sin and all of its effects. The anxiety, the doubt, the insecurity, the worry, the anger, the lust, the bitterness, all the stuff that ails our soul. And so Jesus didn't want to leave that work unfinished, so he rose from the dead so that his Holy Spirit could literally come and indwell us and walk with us every day throughout our lives and give us a new divine strength, a new power that we never had before. And as we get to know Christ and we learn progressively how to lean on that strength and to experience his power, bit by bit we become more like Jesus and a little less like our old selves. And we begin to learn how we can face life's trials with joy and life's temptations with strength and victory that we never had before. He came to save us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, but thank God, he also came to save us from the presence of sin. Because the Bible tells us that one day he's coming back. And he's coming back to rid this world of all that ails it, the injustice, the war, the crime, the disasters, the disease, all the stuff that we wrestle with as human beings. Jesus is going to rid this world of that and usher into its place an eternal kingdom, a perfect world, the world as God designed it to be, a world inhabited by people who know Christ, who've placed their faith in him, who now inhabit perfect, sinless, glorified bodies fit for the presence of God, the best version of ourselves, where there's no division, no strife, no conflict, where we live forever in a perfect world with God for all eternity. And I love the fact that when the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, there's going to be what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I love the fact that this picture of eternity in heaven, God pictures it as almost an eternal wedding feast, a place where there's food and laughter and joy and dancing and singing, spending time together for all eternity with Jesus Christ and those whom we love, right? The best version of ourselves. It'll be a wonderful time. And as I was thinking about this week, it occurred to me that I think part of the reason we love Christmas so much is because in a small way, it's just a little foretaste of what heaven will be, right? Think about it. Christmas, we enjoy the lights, the sounds, the flavors, the tastes, the music, the family, the festivities. I mean, it's a time of joy and feasting. And even though it's awkward sometimes and we have our own dysfunctional members, the weird Larrys and that sort of thing, and our uncles or whatever they may be, we still inhabit that warmth that Christmas feels to us. It's a taste of heaven, right? And even for those of you for whom Christmas may be a difficult time, maybe a time of emptiness and loneliness and loss, maybe you're experiencing the loss of a loved one or the loss of somebody that passed away or maybe a divorce or a difficult relationship, even that, right? Let that emptiness remind you that this world is not our ultimate home. Right? We were made for a better place, and that place is coming. It's a place where there will be no loneliness. All of our longings will be fulfilled as we spend an eternity with Jesus Christ and those we love forever and ever. All of this can be ours by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus was born to die so that we could be saved from the penalty of sin. Jesus was born to rise again from the dead so that we could be saved from the power of sin in our daily lives. And Jesus was born so that one day he can come back and rid this world of the very presence of sin and spend eternity with him forever and ever. Let me invite you to receive him today. You know, on that first Christmas Eve, God gave to us really the best gift of all, the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ. And he really is the gift that keeps on giving. Let me invite you to receive him by faith this morning. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for what Christmas means. We're thankful that Jesus didn't just come to be born, but he came to give us new life, eternal life in the presence of you and the hope that we have even today. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season, as we experience the lights and the glow and the warmth and the singing and the food and the family, Lord, let those things just pull us forward and remind us that this is just a little taste of what we'll have for all eternity with you. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that has never trusted you as their Savior and Lord, never received that free gift of salvation, we pray that today they would do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing this to each other.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
You know that? You know that song? Why don't you, let's do this. Close your eyes and sing it to yourself. Sometimes it's easier for us to love those around us than it is to love ourselves. You know you. You know where you've been. You know what you need. Sing it to yourself.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you, Lord, turn your face toward and give you peace.
Sing it to those around you.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Go tell it on the mountain.
If you can find a mountain anywhere within 200 miles of here. Over the hill country. And am I pointing in the right direction?
Everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light.
Why don't we stand together and sing it?
Go tell it on the mountain. Oh, tell it on Christ was born, and God gave us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
One more time. Come
on. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Oh, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Tell him that Jesus Christ is born. Oh, tell him Jesus Christ is born.
God bless you. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.